Hello, everyone at TLS. This is David Hayward, and today I'm talking to another TLS member, Timothy McPherson.
Hello again.
Hello, Timothy. How are you? Can you hear me?
I'm doing great. Yes, I can.
Awesome. I've got all my gear in this time, so
yay!
It'll sound better. The last call we accidentally got disconnected, and the record got turned off inadvertently, and I didn't notice it. So we're doing this again, which is a pleasure because your story is fascinating. And one of the things, first of all, tell me where you're living and a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I am living in Ludington, Michigan, in the United States. That is a small town of about 8,000 people. Mm-hmm. It's located on the coast of Lake Michigan on the lower peninsula of Michigan.
And you're married and have three boys?
Yes, I have. My wife, her name is Kami. We've been married since 2002. Mm-hmm. And my boys, Zachary, Nathaniel, and Gabriel, they are 9, 7, and 4.
Cool. And you're a Salvation Army officer.
That's right. I've been so since the year 2000. I was commissioned or ordained, as we like to say. Every now and then I might say a Salvation Army term that doesn't make sense, but I'll try to remember to translate it. Mm-hmm. But I was ordained in 2000. And I was sent immediately to Germany, where I served for 10 years.
Wow.
And Ludington here in Michigan is actually my first American pastorate.
Oh, wow. So you've been in the Salvation Army for a while?
All my life. My parents are Salvation Army officers. They are also pastors. They just retired last year. Mm-hmm. And my grandparents were Salvation Army officers, and so were my great-grandparents.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's in your blood. You don't have a choice.
Well, I do have a choice. My own mother, she was the youngest of seven children, and she was the only one who became an officer.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your hometown? Where were you born?
I was born in Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
I lived there for 3 months and don't know it too well.
Uh-huh.
I grew up mostly in Kansas and Missouri. I also lived for a couple years in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
If people ask me, though, where I've lived the longest, that would be Hanover, Germany. So.
Okay. So you went to Germany to pastor Salvation Army?
Yep, I was in three appointments over there. First, I was in a city called Dortmund in the central west part of Germany. I was there for 2 years, and then my wife and I got married, and that's an interesting story in and of itself, which is probably a bit too long for our talk here. But then we were transferred to Nuremberg in the south, and I was there for 1 year, and then a little bit of an emergency situation came up where somebody was supposed to go to Hanover in the north central part of Germany, but they had to cancel that at the very last minute for health reasons.
Uh-huh.
And my wife and I were transferred to Hanover.
So did you meet your wife in Germany?
No, I.
Oh.
That was a long story.
Oh, okay. Well, we won't go there because there's I want you to tell your story, how you led up to today and everything. So where did you learn German?
I learned it in high school, actually.
Oh, wow.
I started learning it in high school, and I was one of the few people who in the class who really wanted to learn German for German's sake. And at the time, I didn't want to learn Spanish because nothing against people who speak Spanish, but the classes were so full, I thought I'd never learn anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to learn Latin because I wasn't going to become a lawyer or a doctor. I knew I wanted to become a Salvation Army officer even back then.
Wow.
And the other two choices were French or German. And at the time, we had a German who attended our church in the Salvation Army there.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this would be perfect opportunity. Plus my father had taken German when he was in high school. And I thought this would be awesome to learn German. So I learned it. And of course, school German is nothing like,
no, yeah, exactly.
Speaking over there. And,
Well, you sounded like a responsible high schooler. I wasn't. You know, when I finished high school, I met with the guidance counselor, and he basically said, yeah, don't even bother writing the SATs test or anything. He said, just go find a job, and you know, for the rest of your life. And I defied that. I went and got a BA and then an MA and then a diploma in ministry. So anyway, so yeah. Why did you move home from Germany then? What happened there?
Well, we were there for 10 years. Normally, what we do is 3-year terms each. After our third 3-year term, so it would have been 9 years, I got a call from our headquarters in Germany, and they said, did you realize that the Salvation Army is trying to, in the United States, is asking for you to come back and right now? And this was news to us. Uh-huh. And so I called the Salvation Army in the United States and asked them what was going on. And they said, yes, we would like you to come back. However, we are working with the German Salvation Army, and we will wait 1 year for you to come back. Because at that time, it would have been next to impossible for the Salvation Army in Germany to find somebody to replace us in Hanover, where we lived. It took a while to figure out what was going on, but basically it turned out that my wife and I were having marital problems. We were going through a lot of different issues that were happening. Some of it, my wife doesn't make a secret of this, but she had been sexually abused by her grandfather from ages 3 to 7. Mm. And I knew about that too before we got married. And I thought that this was something that she said that she had sought counseling for it when she was in college. And I thought, okay, it's been taken care of. You know, she's addressed it, you know, mm-hmm. not realizing that abuse still has an effect on the survivors of abuse even later on in life.
Sure.
Particularly when events happen such as marriage or having children. And having children was what started sparking the recurrence of what she went through as an abuse victim there.
Hmm. Wow.
And then I myself was going through a little bit of a depression as well, and it took me a while to admit to it. That was very hard for me to admit that not everything was as rosy as it was. I thought there must be something wrong with me spiritually then. I can't admit that I have this weakness here.
Yeah. Well, how would the Salvation Army know about this? Your wife and you?
Because we told them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we told them in Germany, and Germany decided to let the Salvation Army of the United States know. And when the Salvation Army of the United States heard that, they thought, oh, we better bring him back. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, there was a breakdown in communication, and that sometimes happens when you're in international appointments and trying to communicate properly and according to protocol. And it wasn't communicated to us right away. This is the reason why we want to bring you back. We want to help you and be a support for you. Mm-hmm. So it was about a year and a half later, that after we had been in the United States for a year and a half, things were starting to come to a head. And some friends of ours who are also Salvation Army officers, who are also counselors, said, you know, this is the reason why and brought back, and you guys need to get some help, and we can help you out here. And so they hooked us up with some very good counselors, and we've been in counseling since then. But that was it started affecting my work as a Salvation Army officer. I started slacking off in my reports, and especially financial reports, and those are no-nos to goof up on. And they had extended me grace because I was returning back from the United States. I mean, from Germany to the United States, but it became to the point where I said, no, we're going to have to put you on a probation now.
So when were you put on probation?
I was about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And, but at the same time, I had the worst culture shock coming back from Germany. It affected me more than I thought it would have. Mm-hmm. I came back, it started off with me talking about, you know, how in Germany we did this, or yeah. It started off with little things like not being able to sort the trash like I could in Germany. In Germany, you sorted the trash by recyclables and paper, cardboard, and compost items.
That's what we do here in Canada, too.
Well, in some parts of the United States, that's done here. But in my little town of Ludington, they don't have the facilities to do that.
Right.
And if I wanted to recycle paper trash or cardboard trash, I had to bring it in and into town with me. And so I started getting frustrated with that. And our healthcare, although it's actually, compared to other people who have healthcare in the United States, we have excellent healthcare in the Salvation Army. Mm-hmm. They provide very well for us, but it still wasn't quite the same as what we had in Germany.
Right.
In Germany, we were pampered, basically.
Yeah.
We were expecting our two children, it was wonderful. The gynecologist would be the one who would do each and every ultrasound. It wasn't a technician. Mm-hmm. It was the gynecologist himself who would do it. And then when we gave birth, we would have a midwife take care of us. A midwife would come after our child was born, and we also would do a birth preparation course with the midwives. And then in the hospital, when we gave birth, we didn't have to give birth in the hospital, but we wanted to, mainly because they had a water birth facility. So all of our boys were born in water. And in the hospital that in Germany that we lived in, that we lived next to, had a water birth facility. Mm-hmm. And my wife didn't want to have any pain medication whatsoever. She wanted to have it all natural. And I suggested to her, well, if that's the case, what about a water birth? Because you love the water. And she thought it was a wonderful idea. And it helped her out. For her, it was a wonderful experience. It reduced the pain that she was having almost to the point where she didn't feel the contractions.
Oh, yeah.
And
But Salvation Army don't do baptisms.
No, we dry clean.
Okay. So let's jump ahead to where you were feeling kind of lonely and a little bit on the edge, marginalized a little bit, and you started a group. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, what happened was I started noticing different things happening when President Obama was pushing for the universal health care in the United States. I was all for it. I saw nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. And when the shootings happened at Sandy Hook in Connecticut, where all those children were murdered, I was thinking to myself, this is abnormal. This doesn't happen. Too many people are dying from guns here. And I started saying things about it. And all of a sudden, friends of mine who are in the Salvation Army here in the United States and who are officers, who are pastors, mm-hmm. started blocking me, started unfriending me, started talking negatively about me.
Right.
Except one guy, and who was also a Salvation Army officer, who was known. Well, he was actually known to be a troublemaker, but he was. That's how I knew him. But I also knew him to be a socialist.
Okay.
And so I started talking to him and saying, "Hey, why don't we start a group for other Salvation Army members, you know, not only just officers, but soldiers or people who are no longer with the Salvation Army, or even people who just like the Salvation Army, and for people who might have a liberal bent to their worldview."
Right.
And that was also hard for me to do, to admit that I was no longer conservative and I was now a liberal, and both theologically and politically. And so we started it and called it the Progressive Salvationist. Mm-hmm. We had it as a closed group, not a secret group. That was a mistake. I realize that now after the whole debacle happened with it. But it was great. It was something we had this – we started finding all these people that I was surprised at who were liberal or who had a liberal bent into their thinking – It was wonderful. But then the backlash started happening. But what I didn't realize, you know, we were doing what we thought were innocent things, like we had a Salvation Army flag or a shield as part of our banner, and we called it the Progressive Salvationist with the Salvation Army shield or with a flag. And then I started getting letters from my superiors in Chicago saying, you're not allowed to use the Salvation Army flag or the shield without permission unless you're an official group. And this is not an official group. Please take it down.
Right. And
since I am an officer, you know, and they're my superiors, I had to obey that.
Didn't they say that you were bringing disrepute to the Salvation?
Yeah.
To the Army? Yeah.
What was happening was people started talking about us and saying, these guys are heretics. They're talking about things that go against the Bible. And, it was also a time of exploration for me, because I was not only going through culture shock, but also a change in my theology, coming to terms with the fact that I'm now more of a liberal than anything else. And in fact, if I characterize my politics, I'm a Green, not even a Democrat. I started to realize certain things, like when Rob Bell's book came out, Love Wins, I thought, well, let me read it and see what's going on. And I liked it. I liked what he had to say about how maybe our view of hell is wrong. And I'm thinking, oh, he's right. Gehenna was that crash dump outside of Jerusalem. And I started thinking, why haven't I viewed it like this before? People started saying, you know, what you're doing is wrong. And then another thing came out is sort of a side note to it, became sort of a big topic of discussion with us, is over LGBT equality.
Right.
Now, that took me a little bit longer to come to terms with, but I started listening and then starting to do my own research into what was going on with it, and just not taking it at face value, saying, well, you know, Romans 1 says this and Leviticus says that, and it's both in the Old and New Testament, so it must be wrong. And I started actually examining it and studying it a little bit more deeper. Mm-hmm. And I started realizing probably the main thing that I came to terms with, if Jesus were living here with us now, he went to those whom society had rejected, and especially religious society. Whom religious society had rejected, the prostitutes, the tax collectors. Mm-hmm. And I had to think, who are the prostitutes and tax collectors of our day and age here, especially in the United States? And for us here in the United States, it's people in the LGBT community.
Yeah, the marginalized, for sure.
Yep. And so, that floor.
Yeah. The same thing happened to me, you know, with my blog, Naked Pastor. My superiors started getting messages and letters and everything from people, phone calls. And basically it came down to, I had to choose to be loyal and appear loyal to the Vineyard, or, you know, to stop blogging altogether. Those were my choices.
Mm-hmm.
And, which of course I found a third one, but, so the LGBT thing, you had your own personal insight into that as well. Your own personal story challenged your theology, didn't it?
Well, it was something that I had repressed in my own self. Since I was 14, I realized that not only was I attracted to women, but I was also attracted to men.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard. I mean, if I were just attracted to men, I could say, oh yes, that's true. But I wasn't, you know, I was attracted to both men and women. And growing up in a conservative Christian denomination like the Salvation Army is, I was telling myself, this is wrong, this is bad, this is something that you should not be thinking. And I did everything I could to repress it in my own mind, and that didn't work.
Right.
And it was very hard for me to come to terms with that. And so also with this group that I had, the Progressive Salvationist, it was became even more difficult. And since I was under a probation, that they brought that into play there too. It's like, okay, they said, okay, we've noticed you've improved on your finance reports. There's no complaints there. However,
right,
it's this group,
right,
and so
your
they
positions use on different things such as LGBTQ.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. On that, talking about hell, talking about other progressive matters, and you know, sometimes when people ask to join our group, we would refer them over to the Progressive Christianity site and show them the 8 points of progressive Christianity and ask them if they could identify with that. And then I was told some of those points were heresy, and I disagreed with it, but I didn't. It was my place to contest it at that time, especially being under probation.
Yeah.
So what I tried at first to take the Progressive Salvationists as a secret group, and they said, that's not enough. And so I said, okay, I'm leaving it then. And I gave them proof. And there are two members of the group, the gentleman I started with, I said, you can, and another person in there who's also an officer, and I said, you can ask both of these people here. They can verify, they can vouch that I am no longer part of it. And I show them screenshots of me leaving. I show them screenshots of my farewell to them. And I said nothing bad about the Salvation Army. I just said, hey, this is what's happened.
Yeah.
You know,
so do you want to tell TLSers how you coming out sexually and being married happened?
Well, I was actually chatting with you at the time. And it was late at night, and I went down. I was upstairs, and I had left my phone in there, and I was chatting with you on my iPad, and I thought, oh my goodness, it's going to keep on beeping my wife, and it's going to wake her up. So I went to get my phone, and the next morning I had mentioned to you, though, in our chat, that how I was just coming to terms with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I had taken the dog out for a walk and came back inside, and my wife was fuming, and I knew something had happened, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And I asked her, I was like, what's going on? What's the matter? And she said, you should know, you know. And I'm like, what is it? And she's like, Facebook? Like, uh-oh.
Hmm.
And I thought at first my whole world was going to come collapsing down. We had been going through marital difficulties already. I had mentioned that to TLS too.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, this is the nail in the coffin. This is what's going to drive her away.
Mm-hmm.
And I cried with her. I pled with her. She's like, no, you got to give me time. And it's like, okay. And so I just waited. And she went and actually called her aunt, who is married to a transgendered man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, that's different, a totally different situation there, but also has to do with issues of sexuality and not conforming to the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a long talk with her. And then she talked with me again, and suddenly it was like everything was better.
Wow.
And I can't explain it. My wife cannot explain it either, except for her saying, you know, we are both broken.
Hmm.
And it's okay. And suddenly everything that I wished for in my marriage came true. Suddenly she was more affectionate with me, more intimate with me, and I had the worry, the big worry, that my sons would not be able to see what a loving relationship was between two parents.
Yeah.
And that really concerned me, and I thought they're going to grow up thinking parents don't love each other or they don't show affection in front of each other. But all of a sudden we were kissing each other, hugging each other in front of our boys, and it's like, I can't explain it.
Mm.
Other than for me reassuring her, it's like, this might be my orientation, but I've chosen you.
Mm-hmm.
This is maybe the way my mind has been wired, but I'm still with you. I won't leave you. I've made a commitment to you. This is, you know, I've chosen you for my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, we still, she still has questions about it, and I try to answer as best I can. Like certain things I have no clue, or I've, you know, I haven't processed yet. But that became sort of freeing for me.
Absolutely.
We got cut off there.
Yeah. Tim, before we go, listen, I want to say thank you so much for sharing your story. You know, it's just so vulnerable, and I'm sure it's going to encourage and help a lot of people, especially the way you came to your own revelation of your own sexuality and how you accidentally came out to your wife and everything, and how you guys have are working together in that. And, you know, when you guys say, you know, we're both broken, you know, on the one hand, I know what you mean. On the other hand, man, it like you said yourself, that you're more free than you've ever been, and it's really helped your relationship. So do we call that broken, or do we call that healed? You know, and it's kind of both sides of the same coin. But I just wanted to say that I really appreciate you sharing that, and I hope your story helps a lot of people who are listening on TLS. Is there anything you'd like to say to the TLSers before you go?
Well, just that I appreciate each and every one being vulnerable and being courageous enough to share their stories. Sometimes it's not always easy, and lots of times people are going through a lot of pain. And I just want to encourage everybody to keep on sharing, to know that I myself do not judge, and I will do everything I can to support, to uplift people, and I hope they don't mind if a pastor occasionally prays for them.
No, well, there's that happens on TLS. Like, look at Kenitha Stanton, right, where she lights candles every Friday for people on TLS. So I think that's cool. And
yes,
I think there's a lot of people who would appreciate that. So, and listen, TLS guys, if anybody wants to be interviewed by me for a Meet a Member podcast, just let me know and we'll get you on here. And it's just easygoing conversation, just like me and Tim are having today. So thanks a lot, Tim.
It's been You're
great.
Welcome.
It's been great. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.